An economy in crisis sparks Cuba's biggest anti-government protests in three decades. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In the capital Havana and across several other cities, thousands of people have joined protests against Cuba's communist government. Police have used pepper spray and beat some protesters who demanded freedom, democracy, and a faster coronavirus vaccination program. Some protesters stormed state-owned shops, which many citizens rely on for access to basic necessities despite high prices. Cubans have been angered by an economic collapse, restrictions on civil liberties, and the government's handling of the pandemic. Infections have reached new records in recent days.
State security beat me and my daughter. They beat us because we were walking down the street.
We are here because of the repression against the people. They're starving us to death. Havana is collapsing. We have no house, we have nothing. But they have money to build hotels, and they have us starving.
Some protesters there speaking to the BBC. Well, the Cuban economy has suffered in recent years from the impact of tough U.S. sanctions. Now the coronavirus pandemic, which has hit the nation's tourism industry particularly hard. The BBC's Ana Maria Rora has more on that.
Cuba is not receiving tourism, and this is their main source of income in that country. So many families live off tourism. It's very difficult. Salaries are paid in Cuban pesos, and a lot of essential products like milk, bread, are sold in euros. That means Cuban people has to rely on their family or friends sending remittances for them on that currency. And last month, the government has introduced some economic reforms that hasn't had the impact they expected and that have made inflation rose. So basic products are now more and more expensive. Also, during Donald Trump administration, the travel to Cuba of Cuban Americans or Americans was restricted. That is also another factor playing a role in the economic crisis they are living now.
And so all of those factors are now coming to a head in cities across the country. So how big of a challenge is this to political stability there in Cuba?
Let's remember the only precedent of this kind of protest that we had in Cuba was in 1994. At that time, Fidel Castro was still in power. After this protest that we cannot compare because this is huge and this is in several states, in several cities of the island, was not the case in 1994. But after this protest, some political changes and economic reforms came into play. So we are just seeing the beginning of something. We have to wait and see what is going to happen.
The BBC's Ana Maria Rora for us. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, checking the numbers now, global shares are little changed as investors keep close tabs on further spread of the COVID-19 Delta variant. Benchmarks here in London, Paris, and Frankfurt are down in the 0.1% to 0.5% range. G20 finance ministers warned improvement so far in the global economy could be hampered by more contagious variants of the virus. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal this morning reports Chinese e-commerce giant ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, has suspended plans to list shares either in the U.S. or Hong Kong after regulators there reportedly warned about data security risks. Cases of internet shutdowns have been on the rise across the world. Limiting access to the World Wide Web has become more common across the African continent. And although China has the world's biggest social media market, access to sites like Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube are blocked inside the country. The Western concept of free and open internet is under attack, according to Google's chief executive, Sundar Pichai, who spoke in a wide-ranging interview to the BBC's Amal Rajan.
Speaking in Google's deserted Silicon Valley headquarters, Sundar Pichai made clear that the way we have become accustomed to using the internet, freedoms his company did so much to create, faces challenges from several rival systems.
The free and open internet has been a tremendous force for good, and I think we take it for granted a bit. Google has proudly stood for freedom of expression and the flow of information in a free and open way. But I do think the model is, being attacked.
Mr. Pichai defended Google's record on tax, saying that it was one of the world's biggest taxpayers. He said he was supportive of discussions about how tech giants pay tax. Mr. Pichai has made big bets on artificial intelligence and quantum computing. He describes the former as the most profound technology humanity has worked on, even more so than the internet, electricity, or fire.
There's much more of Amal Rajan's interview with Sundar Pichai. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Victoria Craig, and I've posted a link to that story there. Elsewhere, two Chinese tech giants say they've spent $350 million buying 10 million COVID-19 vaccines for the island. Taiwan's government was unwilling to buy the vaccines itself because they're being distributed in the region by a mainland Chinese company. The BBC's Claire Williamson has more.
TSMC and Foxconn said Monday they're stepping in to fill a shortage in vaccines that has hampered the response to a recent outbreak of COVID-19 cases. The Taiwanese government has been accused of being too slow in acquiring vaccines and of stubbornly refusing to buy the Pfizer vaccine from its regional distributor because it's based in China. The two companies have now purchased the vaccines and will donate them to the government to distribute to the public. Just 0.3% of Taiwan's population has been fully vaccinated. The government has millions of vaccines on order, mainly from AstraZeneca and Moderna. I'm the BBC's Claire Williamson for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.